Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. Thinking about the little thought, what do you see? And I've been studying some and reading some in Numbers. I want to read a scripture there. It starts out by saying Numbers 13 and 33. It says here, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And so I just want to think about this little thought this morning. You know, we need to remember a few things when we see the giants, because the giants can be real, can't they? And they can stare us in the face. And the giants are different for every one of us, but we all have giants that we're going to face. Giant big problems, giant big things, giant big questions. And you know, we need to remember something when we see the giants, because these people were wanting to inherit the promises that God had given them. God had given them great and precious promises that they could enter this land and have this for a possession for their posterity. But when they went to see what was in the land, they saw giants. And they said, "We were in our own sight as grasshoppers." I want to ask you something this morning. How big is a grasshopper? Maybe a little bigger than my thumb. That's pretty small compared to us, isn't it? But in their mind, they were like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. Now, is that a true comparison? a grasshopper to you or me is a little tiny thing we could put our foot on. But do you think that they were in the sight of these giants, do you think that was a proper relationship? That we were like a grasshopper? And we looked to them like grasshoppers. You know, maybe they were giants. And I believe they were, no doubt. But we find they were big people. They were formidable looking. They were overpowering looking. It looked impossible to these people. But it wasn't like grasshoppers. It wasn't like grasshoppers. You know, when we see the things of life, and when we see the giants and the sons of Anak, let's put it in proper size. Let's don't let the devil run with it and tell us that we're like a grasshopper in the sight of this problem that we've got. Folks, we're not like a grasshopper. And we've got God to our side. And I think the Lord wants us to remember something. That these battles, He told them to go in. And He said, "You're going to win these battles. You're going to win this land. And I'm going to give you this land." And these people did not believe. They did not believe they could do that. They saw something bigger than themselves. And it really was real. It was bigger than themselves. And they began to fixate on that. And they began to think about all the things they were going to face. And they talked about the things they saw. And they saw these great walled cities like Jericho right across the river. First one we're going to meet is a great walled city. What are we going to do there? Do you know what happened at Jericho? Do we remember what happened at Jericho? Anybody remember that story? Do you remember... See, when the Bible says the angels encamp around those that fear Him, do you know that they're real and they're there and that it's no problem for them to throw big walls down? But these people began to see something and it wasn't real. Now, was it real? Yes, it was real. Was it real in the way they saw it? No, it wasn't real in that way. And so they drew back from serving God. And they pulled back and did not believe and would not believe and would not go into those places that God promised them, good places. And they said, yeah, it's a good place. That's really a good thing. But there's giants there, and we saw them. That's what we saw there, the giants, the sons of Anak. And you know, the things that we look at, folks, and the way that we look at them has a lot to do with the courage that we have. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I believe every one of us have those places that we face. Every one of us have those things that come up that truly are larger than life. They're larger than we are, and they're greater than we, and easily they can overcome us. Except, folks, we're not looking at the whole picture when we fixate on that. The picture is that God has great and precious promises for you and me. And the things that would seem to overwhelm us, the things that would seem we cannot go through, we cannot go on, they're bigger than we are, there is no way, there is no answer, folks, we just need the Lord. And we need to see Him. And so this morning, as we begin to look at a few scriptures, I want us to think about the way that we view things. Folks, the work of God can happen. Our lives, we can live for the Lord. If we're not saved, we can live for God unless we fixate on the giants. Do you know these giants were nothing when the battle truly came? They were nothing. It was no problem. It was only a problem in their mind because they fixated on that instead of on the promises of God. And so this morning I want to look at a number of scriptures, and I want to start with Jesus. He's our perfect example. In Matthew 26 and 53, let's look at one. Did Jesus ever have battles like we do? Well, I think we all know the answer to that, don't we? Here is, we find him, 26 and 53 of Matthew, 53rd verse. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Do you know that Jesus was perfectly confident that this was all in God's control? Folks, he had his eyes set somewhere besides the problem. And if we're going to have victory, if we're going to have peace in our life, if we're going to have answers to our questions, we're going to have to get our eyes on the Lord and ask Him for those things. We find, did Jesus just randomly come up to this place of the cross? He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew they were going to put thorns on his head. He knew the scriptures well. And do you know that he came up to there? Did he come just boldly in that way? I want to read how he came. How did he get his eyes off of that? Because it was a big deal to the Lord when he came up to that. He had flesh and he hurt just like we do. And so he came seeking the help of the Lord. Let's look back now in that same chapter to verse 38. And he said, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. You ever been exceeding sorrowful? You ever wept uncontrollably? I will tell you, life can deal some things with you that you are exceedingly sorrowful. And Jesus here felt the pain. He felt the fear, I will say, of what was ahead of him. He felt that in his human. And so he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want to notice some things about the Lord. All the way through, his whole desire was, Lord, what is your will in all of this? And so, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Do you know that we want people to watch with us? We want people to walk with us, but they're not always going to do it, are they? And so here, these folks were tired. They chose to go to sleep. The Lord said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, and y'all are sleeping on me? You know, he felt that in the human. And so he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What words there Jesus gave us that he wanted us to know. I know you want to do it. I know you want to make it, but your flesh is weak. And so you better watch and you better pray. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. You know, Jesus, he came up to this time, and we find his battles were not small, and they were not just won. He was dealing with the human side, the emotional side, the fear side, all of those things. The thing that he didn't want in the flesh to go through, or he wouldn't have prayed, Lord, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want to look over in Luke 22 and 42 at another thing, at a little more that was said about this. And here was another, this is speaking of the same happening. And Jesus, it says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You know, I just want to encourage us this morning. Do you know what Jesus was doing here? He provided an example for us. He could have seen what was happening and melted in fear. He could have said, I can't do that. He could have fixated on the fact that he was going to suffer intensely. But I will tell you what else he did. He began to call out to his Father. And folks, this morning, let's call out to the Lord. Let's don't look and see when our soul is exceeding sorrowful and look at the battle and say it's greater than it is. It's something God himself can't handle. Folks, when we have things we can't do, we have things that are bigger than us, we have things that we can't understand, I want to tell you where to find the help, and that is at the Father's throne. It's on our knees. It's on our face. It's humbling our heart. Maybe we're walking and praying. But folks, it's humbling ourselves in the need of God. Lord, I need your help. I need you to strengthen me. And he went away. What did he pray? Some flowery prayer? No, it says he prayed the same thing 3 times in a row. You know, sometimes all we can say in those situations is, God in heaven, have mercy upon me. I don't know what to say. Words fail me. Do you know that sometimes we don't know what to say? But I'll tell you what God's looking for. He's looking for a heart that's crying out to God for the answers. that's crying out to God for Him to strengthen us and to empower us, to teach us. And so this morning, I want to encourage us that we follow His example. And I believe that we can win the battles of life, folks, if we will trust in the Lord. It is in believing in His name. What does that mean? So I believe. I'm just going to believe. I got to believe harder. No, Jesus believed, and so He prayed. He humbled Himself. He confessed to God, "I need Your strength." He confessed His need before God, and the Lord strengthened him. Do you know this morning, that's the way to fight the battles of life. I don't have some great prescription for you, but I will tell you, this works. It worked for Jesus, and it works for you and me in our battles of life. And the things that are bigger than us, the things we don't understand, the things that make our heart to melt, the things that confuse us, I will tell you, it's no problem for God. And what we need is God. And so we humble ourselves before Him, just like Jesus did, and begin to look to Him. In Hebrews 12 and 1, we find a little more said. Listen to this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now that's first things first. We lay aside those things that beset us. We lay aside the weights of life that we might find the Lord. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What a writing. Lest we be wearied and faint in our mind. Let's consider the Lord. And let's consider that for the joy that was set before Him. Do you know, He saw something besides what was facing Him in the face. He saw something besides the cross. And he fixated on that. He saw the joy that was set before Him. And in all of His prayers and everything He did, His word was, "Lord, if it can be changed, please do. But nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done." And when, you know, that's the secret to our life. It's not rocket science, folks, but it's humbling. It's humbling. I heard Brother Salmon say one time, and several times, he said, you know, it's not that the way's too hard that people don't go. It's too humble. It's too humble. If we could pay lots of money, some of us would just get in there and work real hard. And we would get the money up, wouldn't we? But it don't come that way. We have to humble ourselves. We have to take our eyes off of this world, off of our problems, off of the things that we see, and put them on the Lord. And I will tell you, when you do that, Jesus then went right out after this. It says the angels ministered. An angel ministered unto Him. I believe is the way it said. Well, it says, anyway. You know, He got special help from the Lord. That is the way we face these big problems. We have to have that special grace from God. And so we seek Him humbly and earnestly until we find Him. Until we find that grace. It comes from God, folks. It comes from the Lord. And He has lots of it. And He's able to send angels or whatever He needs to do. Now, I want to go back to where we were at the beginning and look at this little story about these people that were looking at the giants. Is there some reason that they should have believed? Is there some reason? You know what? God gave them plenty of reason to believe, didn't he? We find in Numbers 13 and 23. Listen to this little story here. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. Now, not only had God delivered them, given them water in the desert, not only had he opened the Red Sea and done all of these things. You know, God will do those things for you and me. When he starts working with us, he'll start working. He'll start doing things, and we'll know. We'll know down here. But these people soon forgot. And so so they went in, and they got of the fruit of the land a cluster of grapes that was so big that two of them had to bear it between them. And so here the Lord was showing them, there's blessings here. There's something good in this. Do you know the Lord wants us to fixate our eyes and our mind and humble ourselves to look to the promises of God? This was a promise of God. Folks, the Lord wants, he has promises, great and precious promises, the scripture says. And he wants those to be fulfilled in our lives. But if we allow our eyes to become centered upon those things that we see, that's a great mistake. But the Lord, in spite of all their lack of faith, he gave them reason to plunge on ahead. Jesus, he saw the joy that was set before him. He saw the salvation that it was going to bring to people. He saw that everywhere that gospel went, it was going to calm the wars. Everywhere people accepted the gospel, it was going to start in their heart and begin to change a society, a family. It was going to begin to change. Jesus saw all of that. He saw that he had a heaven to take people to. And so he never stopped for those things, for the big things he saw that was facing him. We have to keep our eyes on those things. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Verse 24, the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. In other words, it's really nice. It's going to be sweet. And this is the fruit of it. Now, we see they go on to say, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now there was a man there, folks, that had faith in God. And somehow he had not forgot all the things that God had done for them. Somehow he knew God's going to take us through this one too. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. This was verse 30. And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Do you think that Caleb knew that? They said, we're not able to go up. They're stronger than we are. Do you think those giants were stronger? Probably. At least some of them were. Do you think those walled cities were impossible to a people that was not well fixed for war? They didn't have all the things. They had been in captivity all this time. They wasn't a great working army with great machinery and weapons and all those things. But Caleb stilled the people. Hey, hang on a minute here. Let's be quiet for just a minute here. Before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Now I want to ask you again, did all the people in the land, were they all men of great stature? No, there was a tribe, the sons of Anak. They were in this mountain. Later, Caleb, at 80 years old, went and took that mountain. He had just as much faith 40 years later as he had then. He knew God could do it, and God gave it to him. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Folks, I know this is kind of a simple message, but the Lord help us today. Shall we be stopped in our life? Shall we allow the enemy to take from us all the precious promises of God? Or will we, like Caleb and Joshua, enter a land? Now, they had to wait a while because everybody else was so stubborn about their own way. But will we enter our promises? Will we enter the good things of God? Will we believe that the Lord has good things for us? Or will we only see giants and walled cities and problems and things I don't understand and all of those big things? It's just too much. Folks, all these people went back. But there was a couple of them that said no. We're well able. Those people, they're food for us. Come on. You know, they had their eyes on something besides what they saw. And I want to just encourage us this morning. Let's get our eyes up. Let's get our eyes on something besides what we see. I'll read a little more of this. Numbers 14, next verse. We'll start there. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. You know what's so amazing to me? They just got through coming through the Red Sea. They just got through seeing all those Pharaoh's army come toward them. And God said, and God put a wall between them of darkness on the Egypt's side and light on their side and opened the sea. And they went through on dry ground and they just saw it. But folks, we are the same. We are the same as they if we are not very careful. And so they all saw this and they wept and they cried. And you would have thought there was no God. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now this is where they began to falter. It's one thing to see things. It's one thing to see the magnitude of it through the eyes of faith in God. But it's quite another to begin to just behold it and let the fear begin to rage and let the issues begin to get bigger and bigger, all out of context. That's the way it happens. Any of us can live for God. It's no problem to live for God. The problem is in here. We just have to humble our heart and get grace from God. And then we can live for God. And we can make it clear to heaven. But that's what it takes. Get our eyes off of what we see. What do you see? What do you see in your life that's going to stop you? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? They admitted the Lord's brought us here. He's brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Why was their defense departed? Because of their wickedness. The Bible speaks of it. It says so. They were wicked people. And the Lord said, it is time. It is time. He said he's going to do that to this world one day too. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And you know, we know the rest of the story. If you drop on down to 39 and 40, it says here, and Moses told these things unto all the people, all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, because God said, you're not going in. You're not going in to this land. And so they mourned. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Oh, we're going to take it into our own hands again. Now we've slept on it. Now we realize what a grave mistake we've made. And now we're going to disregard God again. Folks, we have to humble our heart before God. Lord, it's all in your hands. And what you say, I will do. I will serve you. I will die for you. I'll put my life on the line. And, you know, if we will but believe, will the Lord just leave us? Will he not take us in? Will he not take care of the situations? Will he not make you and I able to serve God until the very end? If we but believe and seek his face and watch and pray, we will enter in. And heaven will be our home this morning. I want to think about now a few lighter scriptures. In Philippians 4:19, I'll just maybe quote a few of these. But it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know that the saying that we have heard so many times, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Do you believe that this morning? I do. I believe that when we get to the end of our way, if we are still serving God, he's still there. And he'll take care of things. So this morning, my God, folks, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. How much is that? How much is that? Folks, let's get our eyes on the real. Do we believe in God or not? I do. And I want to tell you something. I have found him. I have seen him work these miracles. Have you? Many of us here have we not? We have seen him do those kind of things. Let's don't falter in today's battle. Let's don't let it cause us to swoop down and fixate on the problems. Let's fixate on getting a hold of God. Let's concentrate. Let's put our eyes, our hearts, our minds on, Lord, I need your help. And you know, when we do that, we'll find out God is there, folks. We'll find out God is there. Do you know that the scripture says, this is Jeremiah 17 and 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Do you know that that's a great and precious promise to you and me? Do you know that when we give it all to God, whatever our battle is, do you know that the scripture says, blessed, happy, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is? Don't we know that God longs to impart a gift to you and me? Don't we know that he loves to give to us those good things that we stand in need of? Don't we know that He loves to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory? But it goes on to say, whose hope the Lord is, for He shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water, by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. He said, this kind of man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, he's going to be just like a tree that's planted where there's a lot of water and the roots spread all out, and that tree grows up nice and big, and it bears fruit, and it bears, listen to what it says, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Are we going to go forward in faith? Or are we going to be like these Israelites were and shortcut everything God wants to do and look at the greatness of our problems and turn back? What are we going to do this morning? I believe the Lord wants to give us some great and precious things this morning. Thank God for that. Oh, I hope your heart takes courage this morning. I hope you realize, I've got to get my eyes off of these things. I've got to get a hold of God. I've got to fall on my face if I must, alone if I must. Because people won't always walk those ways with us. They'll be tired, and it's not their burden, it's ours. And they'll go to sleep on us sometimes. Jesus experienced that. He never got bitter at these people, but He experienced some of that, didn't He? You know, this morning, I'll just read a few other things that we're so very familiar with. Mark 4 and 36. To 41. Listen to this little happening here. But without a parable spake He not unto them. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I would say that's a time to get worried. I'd say if we're going to worry, that's when for it to happen, when the ship's full. It's going to sink. And besides, the storm is still on. And so it says here, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. This is talking about Jesus. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Have you ever seen that happen? I haven't seen it happen on the natural waves, but I have seen this happen. I have seen the waves until the boat was seemingly full. And when the Lord speaks, folks, it's a great calm. Only God can do those things. But I want to tell you, He can this morning. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They were looking at the wrong thing. They were definitely in a battle for sure. But Jesus knew that He was back there asleep, and they could have come and woke Him up, and they could have said, Master. They finally did. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? You know, that's the God that we serve, isn't it? I want us to be reminded of another instance this morning that we're all so very familiar with. But back in 2 Kings 6, and starting at 8, 2 Kings 6 and 8. You remember the story how the king of Israel kept coming down and warring against the king of Syria kept coming and warring against Israel. And every time he would come, he would find the city that he was coming to war against fortified. And how was that happening? Finally, he asked his servants, who's telling my secrets here? Who's telling them where to fortify their cities? And one of them said, there's a prophet over there. And he's telling the king of Israel what you say in your bedchamber. Do you know that there was some mechanics working here that works in all of God's people's lives, folks? And we see here, I'll skip on down, verse 13, 6 and 13. And he said, go and spy where he is. Now this is Elisha he's talking about. Go find out where this guy is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. I wonder why it never occurred to him that he might know that too. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, you know, his servant saw what was going on. It was real, folks. What are we going to do? Alas, this is bad news. But Elisha knew the Lord, and he had served him long enough that he wasn't looking at what was going on. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if those folks would have had their eyes open? They could have went right into the land of Canaan and inherited the promises of God. But their eyes were not opened to see. Their eyes only beheld what they saw. Does this make sense this morning? Okay. And so we find, fear not. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You know, this morning, if I have not known this God, folks, we might not believe. But I want to tell you something. The Lord has given us an abundance of reasons to believe him and to believe his word. And I want to encourage us this morning that we, like Elisha, pray. That's what he did. He prayed. He prayed for the Lord to open his eyes. And then he prayed for the Lord to take care of that situation. Lord, you see all these people? We would say that we were surrounded with tanks and armies and all of that. At that time, it was chariots and all those things. And he just said, Lord, take care of them. Smite them with blindness. It's over at that point. They can't even see where to go. Do you know that God wants us to have faith in him, folks? He didn't work in this way every time. In Jesus' situation, he went on to the cross. But do you know he went with grace? And he went with strength. And he went with the presence of God. And he paid a price. And we have benefited ever since. Do you know that God wants to benefit people? And he wants to help us? I thought about, and I won't take the time to read this because we are late. But do we remember in John 11 where there was Mary and Martha and a brother named Lazarus? And here he had died. And they were calling on the Lord and he didn't show up. But do you know it wasn't too late, even though he had been dead 4 days? Still wasn't too late, was it? Because when God comes on the scene, he does what he will do. And that is great and precious things for you and me. And he told Martha, he said, verse 40, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I just want to encourage us this morning that we believe God. That we don't pack our bags and run. That we don't say, oh, I wished I'd have never come this way. I want to tell you something. That's all from Satan. The Lord has great and precious things for you and me. He has, do you know what he had for those people? Do you know what he had just ahead for them? Do you know he had the whole land of Canaan, houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant? And they gave all of that up for their fear, for their misunderstandings, for what they saw, and seeing that instead of God. Oh, I want to encourage us this morning that we go forward. We know, and I've mentioned in the last few months, the story about how that, we mentioned it a while ago, how the children of Israel were up against the Red Sea. They were in a corner. They were in a tight place. They were between death and the sea. And do you know, the Lord, Moses said unto the people, he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't break and run. Don't throw in the towel. Don't allow the things to capture our mind and our hearts. Do we serve God or not? The Lord is a great God. Let's not throw in the towel, folks. Let's go forward. Here's what he said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward into the sea? But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Folks, we can have courage this morning. We're all people. We all see things. How are we going to believe? What are we going to do? We're the same. The fear is there. Jesus experienced it too. But do you know, he knew where to go. And he kept himself for the Lord, for God, for his purpose. That's what we have to do this morning. Let's keep ourselves for the purpose of God. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't see a way. Lord, I don't know. I don't understand. But I'm going to seek your face, and I'm going to call upon you. And Lord, I believe you're going to help me and answer. Has there ever been a time, I ask you this, that God didn't work in your life? He has worked time after time. And many times now, after all these years, many times now I look at battles that I don't know the answer to. And they are bigger than me. And they do inspire fear in my heart. But I will tell you what I do. When I see those now, I say, God has never failed me yet. Not one time in all these years has he failed. And he's going to help me again. Folks, we can look up to the Lord. Let's spend our energy seeking God, not fearing what we see. Pray for me.